Recorded Books and RB Digital present The Apparitionists by Peter Manceau, narrated by Jefferson Mays. Author's note. In these days, when an unprecedented number of amateur image makers carry cameras everywhere they go, taking more than a billion photographs every day, it is my hope that this story of photography's infancy will provide a fresh view of a time shaped by war, belief, new technology, and a longing for connection across ever greater distances. A time not unlike our own. The entwined narratives told here, concerning photography's coming of age and the ghostly visions peddled by a photographer of dubious repute, together form an account of how captured images, and the possibility of manipulating them, overtook all other means of recording memories, documenting history, and understanding the past. While those portrayed throughout walked a line only then being drawn between fact and fantasy and the development of their art, this is a work of nonfiction. Wherever dialogue or quoted passages appear, they are taken from the historical record, letters, memoirs, public lectures, or transcriptions of court proceedings made by the indefatigable journalists of the 19th century. I make no claims for the reality of the apparitions that hover over many of these pages, but let the women and men who believed in such hauntings speak for themselves. Nothing can be so deceiving as a photograph. Franz Kafka. Prologue. Happy is the man who is not the chosen one. New York City, April 12, 1869. The accused man sat in a dark corner of the city known as the Tombs. Since its construction in the late 1830s, no one could remember a time when Lower Manhattan's combined police court and detention center had not been so called. That the origin of the name was a mystery only made it seem all the more fitting. Some claimed the imposing granite complex had earned the macabre title due to its resemblance to an ancient Near Eastern mausoleum, complete with Egyptian columns, suggesting forgotten pharaohs might be buried under the surrounding five-point slum. A writer of the day proposed that the nickname had caught on because anyone who entered the gray, begrimed citadel instantly recognized it as the tomb of purity, order, peace, and law, despite its official purpose as defender of such virtues. Others supposed it was called the Tombs simply because so many of those brought behind its walls were never seen again. In any case, to the man listening to details of the charges made against him on an otherwise pleasant spring morning, the building's official name, the Halls of Justice, likely seemed no closer to the truth. Though accused of attempting to swindle the public with photographs he claimed showed the souls of the dead keeping company with the living, William H. Mumler remained impassive, either oblivious to his surroundings or a true believer in the righteousness of his cause. As the words fraud, felony, larceny, and, most unexpected in a place like this, supernatural echoed through the courtroom, Mumler sat with a stolid calm. Only the collar and tie straining around his thick neck suggested the bind in which the big man now found himself. Each year, thousands climbed stone steps worn smooth by the footfalls of crime and punishment to reach the tomb's entrance on Center Street. On any given day, some 400 men could be found crammed into a jail designed for half that number. There they lingered and suffered for weeks on end, before eventually making their way from holding cells to the spot.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?